so excited to welcome you to Real Woman, Real Torah, a project of Bacheva Learning Center. We're here to offer you an authentic Torah learning experience, produced for woman, by woman. I hope you enjoy. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to our second episode in our three-part series that we're doing in honor of Tishrei. So excited to have Chana Hershowitz back here with us again. We're going to be doing another mimer from Likutei Torah. And this mimer is from Shabbos Shuva. And it's sort of continuing the theme that we discussed last time about the concept of Shuva. We're also going to see that theme of Yaakov and Yisrael again in this mimer, but going to bring out some other ideas here as well. So we're excited to dive in.
Thanks for having me again. So the mimer that we do is called Shuva Yisrael. The Alter Rebbe said this mimer, 1807, Tavkuf Samaches. And he said it Shabbos Shuva. And the theme of Shuva is something that's not just exclusive for Yom Kippur, but really the entire time that we're in, Rosh Hashanah, Seres Meid Shuva, and Yom Kippur. And I think, like we said in the past, Maima, that Shuva is really about Tashuv Hei, like really going back to your Chelek Elokai, really going back to your true essence. And it's really about understanding yourself. So I really think Yamim Nerayim is about a time of self-reflection. It's about a time of looking deep within yourself. And this Maima is very deep. It's very esoteric. It really talks about the creation of the world. And like really lofty ideas. But then the Alter Rebbe comes and tells us that like a person is a mini world. So really to understand God, you have to understand yourself. So that's how we're going to sort of dive in.
Awesome.
Okay. So Shuva Yisrael. Hine yesh beis mechunas Yaakov Yisrael. Uchsev la Yaakov ya'amar chole. So basically the Alter Rebbe brings a question that we're not really going to like answer fully because it's a very long maimah. But the question again is, why does it say Shuva Yisrael? So on Shabbos Shuva, the Haftarah Hosea asks the question, says Shuva Yisrael al Hashem Elokecha, return Yisrael to Hashem Elokecha. And we know that when Yaakov went into Eretz Yisrael, Hashem gave him a new name, Yisrael. And that name is really the identity of the Jewish people, Eretz Yisrael, B'nai Yisrael. We are looked at as Yisrael is really the change in name symbolize the change in identity. So we have within ourselves this duality of Yaakov and Yisrael. And in order to Shuva, we have to really understand who are we really. We spoke about in the last Maima that the Yaakov represents a part of our neshama that's a little bit more flawed, and Yisrael represents a chelek elokai, the part of our neshama that's perfect. And I think this Maima goes and continues on that notion. So the inyan hine naida ki tachlas debreis ha'ilmas liyais leid yisparach der besachtainim. So the Alter Rebbe, it's amazing, but he goes back in Alter Rebbe fashion to the beginning of time to explain that the way in which we do tshuva is to really go back to the beginning. And what is the beginning? The beginning is that Hashem created the world with an intention. And the intention was that Hashem is going to create a der besachtainim. It's going to create a dira, a dwelling place in the tachtainim, in this world. And we do this through two stages. The first stage is to subdue and conquer the sitra achra, which is hiskafia. And the second stage is hisapcha, which is transformation. So when Hashem created this world, Hashem created a world that had a potential to for us to improve it. We are essentially created. Why are we in this world? Because Hashem created a world that was Helem, which the Alter Rebbe is going to talk about now. Helem, the word Olam is from the word Helem. Why is the word Olam called Olam? Why is the world called world? Because of the word Helem, concealment. In Judaism, we believe that every word that is, there's a reason why that word is called that world. Why is Olam called Olam? Because Milashen Helem, this world of concealment. So us little people are put into this world that Hashem is fully, we can't see Hashem. Hashem is hidden in this world. Hashem is everywhere. There's no place that Hashem is not. There's no place that Hashem is void of. But we, little people, are put into this world with a mission. And the mission in this world is to subdue the darkness is to sort of like a two-step process, hiskafia, which is number one, to look at this world and see like, how am I going to turn down the noise, turn down the distractions. I was in LA for Yom Tif and I'm walking on the street and I just see something about, I love LA, but there's something about LA that's like so distinctive. And that is like the, what is it called? The billboards. You walk down the street, like you walk down Pico, Robertson, and there's just like huge billboards. Everywhere you go, there's billboards. And the billboards are very distracting. And they're meant to be distracting. They're meant to grab your attention. But it's very difficult when you're on Rosh Hashanah, like you're walking down the street and you're like saying your Tehillim and you're being like, you're like singing the Negunim in your head because you're like just trying to keep like good ideas and you're walking down the street and there's these huge billboards like this show is out and that is happening and like there's so much superficiality surrounding you. And Eskafia is this idea that I need to turn down the noise. I need to turn down the noise because it's so noisy and I can't hear myself think. I'm distracted. The next level is this idea of hishapcha, that it's not just enough to subdue and conquer the sitra achra, but I have this duty in this world to transform the world, to actually recognize that the world is helem, that it's hidden, but it's hide and seek. I need to actually seek. I need to actually find Hashem. So there's this two-step process that is happening. So it's very dark over here. Ki hine Oilam homilashan helem, shuch hachayshech vahester shemelim omaster arinzai barcho. So basically, the Alter Rebbe says that exactly what we said, that this world is dark and we can't see what's going on. And we really have to find Hashem over here. Okay. And what is the purpose over here? Kihine oilam homilashan, okay. V'nira shiesh ladavar mipnei atzma v'chayshech, ze yishapech la'ar, So I actually love this idea. Ayin b'ayin yiro. So basically it says in order to, right now we're in this world that is fully dark and it's noisy. And Hashem put us down in this world. We're trying to do Shabbat over here. We're trying to work on ourselves, but we're in a world that is helem. It's like in a way that it's a trap. It's like Hashem put us into this world with these little people and Hashem put us in a world that's really noisy and it's very dark. But Hashem believes that we can actually make a difference because Hashem said, I'm going to put them in a place that's dir b'tachtayim, tachtayim she'en tachtayim emeno, in a world that's very low, but it actually has potential. It's the lowest that it can be low that we can still find Hashem in it. So we have this mission. We're like these little secret agents that we're doing this mission. And what is the mission? The mission is that we're ayin le'ayin. We're able to find eye to eye with Hashem. Alter Rebbe says over here that what is our goal? The goal is that we have to try and understand that Hashem is this world and we have to become eye to eye with the truth of what's going on over here, which like at face value seems like literally impossible because it's so dark and so noisy, but Hashem believes that we can be eye to eye with Hashem. We can eye to eye see the reality, which is that Hashem is everywhere. So over here it says, that what is the purpose over here? It's like the headline of Chassidus, that we have to know with our da'as that Hashem Ho'alekim, that Hashem is God. Now, you open up English Machzah and it says, Hashem Ho'alekim, that God is the Lord, or the Lord is God. And that's not really what we're saying over here. What are we trying to say? That this is dual component in this world. There is this way that we see Hashem from the vantage point from above, and the way we see Hashem from the vantage point from below. It's like two people are having an experience. We're both going to Disneyland. And one of us is on top of the ride, and the other person's at the bottom of the ride. And we're on the Ferris wheel, okay? And we're both on the same Ferris wheel, but the vantage point from the top of the Ferris wheel is very different from the vantage point from the bottom of the Ferris wheel. So too, there are two ways that we look at the world that we're in. The first way we look at the world that we're in is that the level of Havaya, which is this idea of Yud Kei Vav Kei, that Haya Hayve V'yeh, that Hashem is living in this level of Or, that we're living in a world that is completely revealed. You see Hashem, you see godliness. Everything is revealed in this world. The idea of Mashiach, that we see a godly existence in this world. But on the other hand, we also live in this world that Elohim, that Hashem is within Teva, Hashem is within the natural order of the world, that you don't see Hashem, that Hashem is fully concealed. And I think it's something that we struggle with because it's very complex that on one hand, we have to remind ourselves every single day that Hashem is everywhere and that every single thing that we do in this world is really about uncovering God. That we're on a mission with these spy agents and we really are in this world to actually transform and make a difference. But on the other hand, we're these spy agents, but we're still just regular people living in this regular world. And it's completely hidden. And the mission is so unclear. And we feel this mission instinctively because we have a soul. We have something that's like sort of secretly giving us messages. But we don't see who the big agent is that's actually sending us on this mission. And it's like this instinctive desire that Hasidus tells us that we have to change the world. But Elohim, we live in a natural, real world. We're not living in some fantasy land. We're living in a world with real problems. And it's physically real. Like, we wake up every morning, we have to go to work, we have responsibilities. And it's very nice to say that we live in a world that's all godliness, but it just seems very contrarian to the truth, to the truth that we see, the physical truth that we see. So the Alter Rebbe says over here that the goal in order to do tshuva is to understand that Hashem hu Elokim. We have to synthesize these two seeming complete opposites. That on one hand, Yudke Vavke, which is Hashem, which is this idea that Hashem is revealed and there's godliness everywhere through turning down the noise and through transforming the world, we're able to understand that Elohim, which is the natural world that we're in, is really Havaya. So that's the first thing in the Maamar that the Alter Rebbe really wants you to fully understand. And the way to understand this, and really the goal of this, is really the idea of Mashiach. And I think when we talk about tshuva and really going back to who we are and our real sense of self, sometimes it feels like very unrealistic. And I love talking about Mashiach. I know like Yamim Noraim, like often Mashiach's not the first thing that comes to our mind. But it seems like Mashiach, we're talking about tshuva, like what does this have to do? But Mashiach is that reality. It's that reality that two things that are seemingly so opposite can actually coexist in perfect unison. The idea that when Mashiach comes, we're going to live in a physical reality. Nothing's changing. The Rambam says nothing changes when Mashiach comes. The world's exactly the same. What does that mean that the world's exactly the same? There's going to be candies and everything. It means that we live in this reality that is so, on one sense, so real. We're going to live in a real world. We're going to go to Westfield. There's going to be clothes. But Mashiach comes, we are going to see the Havaya. We're going to see that the clothes actually have godliness within them. And we're going to go to Westfield and go to Zara. And we're going to see the godliness coming out of the sneer's clothing. That's what Mashiach is about. Mashiach is about not making choices because everything is so obvious to us. So the Avaida that we're trying to go through over here is Havaya Hu Elokim, trying to synthesize these two opposites, that Hashem is Elokim, that we need to create this mindset that Tshuva is really working on yourself to turn down the noise, transform yourself, and to actually see God within the everyday life, to understand that Hashem is really there and that Hashem is with you and you are powerful. You are not just some random person living on this random earth, but you're actually a really important spy agent that it really has important things to accomplish in this world. So the last thing we spoke about is this idea that we have Havayahu Elokim, that really Havaya is Elohim. We're trying to understand this complexity, that it's a world phenomenon. Now, the Alter Rebbe says, he tries to bring it down, and he says that a person is a world, which basically means that in order to understand this concept, that our mission in this world is to create, to make your to make the physical, like the reality that you see, the godly reality that is actually apparent, the only way to do it is to recognize that you are a world in yourself, which means that you have to reflect within yourself and understand that you are a world. And the way we do that is to understand ourselves. And that's the power of Tshuva. Power of Tshuva of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is to look within yourself and to recognize that godly complexity that is apparent within you. And by understanding who you are and understanding the various dimensions that make you you, you can understand what your mission is in this world and what you're meant to be doing. So the Alter Rebbe explains that in order to understand this, we have to understand ourselves. Yesh b'nefesh ha'adam beis b'chanas elo, that we actually have this crazy idea of Shamayim Ba'aretz, this idea of physical reality and spiritual truth within ourselves. How do we have it?
Just so everyone who's following along, we just skipped to the bottom of the page. We skipped a couple lines here that sort of elaborates a little bit more on this concept of Havai and Elikim, and it connects to this concept of Das Elyon and Das Tachton, two different perspectives, right, which Han had explained about how there's this sort of top-down perspective of Shem Havaya that sees the world from this sort of godly perspective versus Shem Elikim, which sees the world from Das Tachton, from this more worldly, hidden perspective. And now we're on the bottom of the page, we're getting into sort of how that connects to, you know, our own inner world. So yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, perfect. Okay. Ki ha-nefesh klo'a ma'arba b'chanos elo, secho machshava dibur v'maise. Okay. So our soul has four different components within it. The first is seichel, which is your perceptions, your mind, your true self, I guess. Your seichel is like your perception of the world that is really your identity, that's very deep but very vague. And in order to and it's really your expression within yourself. And then you have machshava dibra maaseh. Machshava dibra maaseh are your thoughts, speech, and actions. And Chassidus explains that your thoughts, speech, and actions are your three levushim. Why they're called levushim? They're called garments because your garments are external expressions of yourself, which means that just like I can talk about the news, and then I can talk about the weather, and then I can talk about the latest iPhone, okay? Which means that my speech is not me. I can talk about it's like my clothing. I can wear one outfit, I can change in 5 seconds to another outfit, and then another outfit. So your thoughts, speech, and actions are not you, but rather they are your expressions of self, the way that you express yourself to the outside world. Now, this is a famous concept in Tanya that we often grow up hearing, and we grow up living with, but there's a very profound question that we often ask ourselves, which is in the level of machshava. I think the idea of thoughts, I don't know about everyone else, but this Rosh Hashanah, like, especially when you're like alone in your when you're like davening and you're not really speaking to people for like long periods of time, or you're sitting and saying Tehillim, your mind wanders. I know my mind, I don't know if anyone else, but my mind's always wandering. Like, I'm always like overthinking, anxious, like overthinking my emotions and every decision I make. I'm often like really in my head about it. I know I'm not special. I know like majority of the planet experience the same phenomenon. And especially during Rosh Hashanah, I had like a lot of time to think. And I was thinking about like where I want to be this year. Who am I? Where am I going? What am I doing with my life? And these thoughts were very loud. And every time I tried to like, okay, we're back to like thinking about Shavah. We're thinking about like davening. Again, these thoughts were coming back to me. And I know like maybe on an airplane, like there are times where you're disconnected from your phone, disconnected from distractions, that your thoughts are really like, they're very loud. And the mistake that we make in life so often is that we think that we are our thoughts. Like, you are your thoughts. You think that your thoughts can take you on a journey. I don't know if anyone's ever had this experience. I know I have. that someone says something to you and you literally create a story that doesn't exist and you created it from your thoughts, the things that you thought that person was thinking about you, and that reality wasn't actually reality at all. It was actually a situation that came up out of your own insecurities that you manifested within your thoughts, within yourself, and to the point that you're all offended at this person and I need to cut this person out of my life. Like, you're making all these like assumptions about this person and the situation when it's really not true. It's completely not found in reality. It's really just your insecurities creating a story in your head. And your thoughts are a really, really powerful vehicle. And Ultram explains over here, I think it's incredible. That what are your thoughts? Your thoughts are a form of communication that allows your sechel to have words. That there's shamayim and aretz. That your sechel and your machshava are considered earth, heaven, and your dibur and maaseh are considered earth. Why does he divide these four components of your neshama into two? That on one hand, you have your sechel and your machshava, which is your thoughts, which is your perception and your thoughts. And then you have your dibur maaseh, your speech and your action. Because thoughts play a really powerful component in your sense of identity. If we say sechel is your identity, your perception of the world, then why is it grouped with machshava? Because machshava is something that is super fit. It's something that is an expression that seemingly you can change. You can think about this and you can think about that. And if the Ultra believes that your machshava, which is your thought, is your expression of self, and it is not something that is your real true identity, then why is he grouping it with your sechel? So the way to understand it is like a turtle and a shell. That a turtle comes with its shell. Its shell is its home, but the shell comes with him wherever he goes. That you don't see a turtle without their shell. But their shell is not the turtle. The shell is really just enables the turtle to survive in this world. It helps the turtle out. So your sense of identity, your sechel, your perception of self, what does it do? It really needs this. It needs the machshava. It needs your thoughts, because your thoughts are your language. Your thoughts allow you to figure out what is my identity. So we think in languages. When I was in Israel for a bit, I started thinking a little bit in Hebrew. But in general, I speak English. I think in English. My thoughts have a language. They have ICIs. Your speech has ICIs that you hear out loud. But people don't often realize that your thoughts is not music. Even when you have a dream or a visual thought, you use your speech in order to wrap your head around the thoughts, the visuals, in order to make sense of the visuals in your head. That thoughts are really the communication device that allows your identity to communicate to self, who am I? That we come to tshuva, we come to understand who am I. We're doing cheshbon nefesh, the entire Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. The thing that is working in overdrive more than anything else, to try to understand who I am, that I'm a chelek elokai mimal, that I'm a Yisrael, that I'm a piece of Hashem. The thing that is communicating that to myself more than my speech, more than my actions, is my thoughts. I don't know. It's a very, very deep idea. But I think it's very powerful. And the reason why I think is very powerful, because I think the thing that we're struggling with today more than ever in history is that voice in our head. The voice in our head that guides our decisions, makes us feel in certain ways. Like, you go to a wedding and your voice in your head tells you, you don't look so good. Really, you look beautiful. You look fine. You look great. You shouldn't have worn those shoes. Those shoes aren't the right shoes. You shouldn't have worn those shoes, the wrong color. Meanwhile, no one is looking at your shoes and saying, oh, she should have worn pink shoes. Everyone thinks that you should have, that no one even remembers, no one even knows that there was another option of shoes. Everyone's like, oh, those were great shoes. But you're sitting there explaining to other people, like, oh, I love your dress. Oh, yeah, it was like my last choice. Like, I couldn't find, there was another one. There was another option in the store. And all Trump is telling you over here, I don't know. It really changed the way I saw myself. I don't know. It really like shook me. Because all Trump says over here, Shagam ha-machshava hi b'chinas levusha ala nefesh, k'may dibra ma'aseh. Mekal makam ha-machshava kalula mistachedes ima nefesh ha-mascheles. That really, your neshama is only connected, your machshava is only connected to your nefesh ha-mascheles, your identity, your soul, your perception of self. Sechel bli ICAs, because your sechel doesn't have ICAs. Hamachshava harehu madin kamsa levushe mine obey. And essentially, what is your neshama? What is your machshava doing? Your machshava is the vehicle in which your identity is able to communicate to self. So, what does this have to do with tshuva? Tshuva is really an avoid of your machshava. It's really, really working on yourself to reframe the ICAs, reframe the words and the letters that you communicate to self. Recommunicate and try to understand Havai Hu Elokim means it's trying to communicate to your little self and remind yourself that what you really are is Havai Hu Elokim, that who you really are is this infinite, incredible piece of Hashem, like we spoke about in the last Maima. That is my real identity. That's who I really am. I'm trying to synthesize these two ideas. And it's a lot of work. It's through a lot of hiskafia, and it's through a lot of hishapcha, a lot of turning down the laws, a lot of transformation. But where do I start? Where's the starting point of actually looking at the world and realizing that it's God, realizing that this year I'm going to create a new reality for myself? Where does it begin? It begins in my mind, that I need to have a change of mind, a change of the voices in my head that is communicating these messages that are not necessarily my identity, because my machshava is a levush too. That my machshava, my thoughts, are just as interchangeable as my speech and action. That my thoughts are not me. My thoughts are the things that I'm surrounding myself with. It's me on overdrive. And it's not my real identity. And my real identity is understanding that Hashem Hu Elokim. And the real identity is understanding that I'm Yisrael and I have a piece of Hashem within me. That is really who I am. And the things that are communicating to myself, I need to change those ways. I need to change that communication device. I need to move the antenna. I need to switch radio stations, because the things that I'm thinking are really putting me down and not letting me really connect to my true self.
Yeah, I think that's a really powerful idea. I think we underestimate the power of our thoughts. And like you said, like this mind reserve is bringing out the other, like we'll talk a lot. Like, in Tanya talks about Machshava being a lavush, right? That's how it's in the external. But here we're sort of bringing out the other side of it, which is that it is external, but at the same time, it's so tied up with our internal world. That's what makes it so powerful. And in fact, like, that's like sort of the agent of real change that we have control over. Meaning, on the one hand, it's something which we can control, right? We can decide where to direct it. And at the same time, because it's such a powerful part of our internal world, it can have such a deep impact on us and the way we perceive things. I think like having that concept of sort of machshava being the place where tshuva begins is like really powerful.
Because there's two dimensions within a person. The first is your communication to yourself, which is through this journey of Seichel Machshava, this idea that your identity is communicated through your thoughts to yourself. And that's the journey that you're going on within yourself. And then step two is the way you communicate externally to the world around you. And that's the idea of Eretz, okay? So we spoke about the idea that Havaya, that the idea that Havaya Hu Elokim is bringing together these two ideas. We're trying to unify self. We're going to talk about it when Sukkot comes, this idea of unity and uniting yourself. But the reason why we have Sukkot after Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur is because we are really trying to cement the unification within yourself. Because we do have this duality. We have the communication of yourself and the communication to external, the world that you're in. I don't know about everyone else, but we all have like two versions of ourselves in a sense. Like we have the version of ourselves that we live within ourselves, the version of ourselves that we experience our life with in our private self. And then we have the version of our life that we experience with the world around us, or like Joe Hari's window, all these like psychological ideas. And the Alter Rebbe explains over here that what are we trying to do? We're trying to unite these dimensions. We're trying to make Havayahu Elokim. We're trying to unite this idea. Whoa, the Maima just clicked in my head right now. Like, it's really clicking in my head. I started learning this Maima, transparency. I thought, this is so lofty, but I was very, very adamant. I'm like, I'm going to get through this Maima. Very lofty ideas. Every four words is a whole different Hasidic concept. And like, we're talking about Mashiach, Havaya, Elokim, Melmala, Lamata, Lamata, Lamala, Nefesh, Seichel, like every word is like a yesh ma'ayim. I skipped the part with yesh ma'ayim, mind, liyesh, ICIs. Like every word in this ma'ayimah is like seven books of Hasidus, like trying to explain that one word. And I think I'm actually really, and I'm very like stubborn. I need to get through this ma'ayimah. I don't care. I'm choosing it. Shavah Yisrael. It's Shabbos Shavah. We are going through this ma'ayimah. There is no way we're changing it. This is what it is. And that's a shkacha practice, because the more I'm speaking about this ma'ayimah, the more I'm realizing that it's like really not, it's Hasidus is very complex, but it's very simple. I think that's what's beautiful about Hasidus. It's so complicated because it's trying to explain the simple reality. It's trying to explain the simplicity of this world, that we have this duality. And why do we have this duality? Because Hashem created this reality. The reason why we feel this complexity within ourselves, and the reason why we feel duality within ourselves, the reason why we experience ourselves and then we experience the world around us, because Hashem created the world Helem. Hashem created a world where there is Eilam, where there's Elokim, where that Hashem is completely concealed. And then Hashem created in the same reality, the way Hashem relate, that Hashem relates to himself and the way Hashem relates to the world. Hashem relates to himself in Ein Sof, in a way that is fully infinite. Hashem is full infinite within himself. But then when he relates to the world around us, he puts sunglasses on us and doesn't let us fully understand him. Creates a reality where we don't understand Hashem. And we, because we are, literally, because a person is a world, a person is an Eilam Katan, a person is a mini world. We experience the same reality that Hashem created the world. We experience that same existence. Wow, this mind is so cool. We create this world where we ourselves also have this duality. Just like Hashem is Elokim and Havaya, we have Havaya and Elokim inside of us. We live this reality that on one hand, we are Havaya. We have this world within us that is so powerful, and there's so many voices and this whole like perception of self and communication within ourselves, but then it's the way that we relate to the external world, and there's often a contradiction. And what's the goal? What is the goal of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Ki Havaya Elokim. We're put in this world to really be united, that our thought, speech, and action and our identity are in alignment. When everything is in alignment and there's this idea of achdus, this oneness, where your identity, the person that you are, the thoughts that are communicated from your seichel, from your mind to your thoughts, and the way that your, the physical manifestation of it, the way your actions, the physical action that people see are in alignment with the thoughts and your identity, and everything is in one, when Havaya Elokim, when there is alignment, that's Tachlis HaBriyos. That's Sirba Tachtainim. That's the purpose of this world. That's what we're trying to accomplish. We're trying to accomplish this alignment that your actions represent your seichel, your identity, your chelek halakai, and there has to be alignment in this world. Nice. I don't know if everyone's on this trip with me, if this makes sense to everyone, or I'm just like on my own little journey over here, but that's really what we're trying to do. We're trying to create achdus, this oneness.
Yeah, and I think like just
hearing you go through
that process, I think is like really powerful. You know, I think really learning on Mimer properly does that, where like you kind of have to, you have to wrestle with it on your own and sort of come to this epiphany through your own struggle with the text, you know? And I think hearing you do that is like really powerful. And I think everyone sort of has to do that for themselves as well, as like go through the text themselves and sort of find that, that meaning.
And and it's like, how is this, it's the Altarev is, we have to remember when we learn Chassidus, the Altarev is not explaining something that is so far from us. He karvalacha, the Altarev is explaining you. So when you learn a Maamar, you have to look within yourself. I think I was wrestling with trying to understand something that seemed so far away from me, but really I just had to like understand my own anxieties and my own overthinking, and then it's just clear. Like, yes, your machshava is not you. Your thoughts aren't you. You can actually change the way you see yourself. And it's a lavush, it's just an outfit. And we shouldn't be bogged down by these negative thoughts that we live with day in, day out. We need to transform that. We need to create alignment. We have to realize that we are chelek ha'elokai, we're a piece of Hashem, and that's what shuvah is. Shuvah is changing those negative voices in your head to positive ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Chana, thank you so much. And we're really excited for the next one, the final episode that we're going to do. For Sukkos. So thank you, and we'll see.
I really bless everyone, like with from the bottom of my heart, with like a clear mind. Like this Yom Kippur, walk in there with like a clear mind, and communicate yourself that Havai Olakim and you're a Chelek Elokai, and that's what you need to remind yourself day in, day out. And may your actions, your words, and your actions align with the truth.